Welcome to Life in the Land of the Ice and Snow. My name is Heather, and my guest today is Mike from Sault Ste. Marie, Canada. How are you doing, Mike?
Hi, Heather. I'm doing great. Thanks.
I was just talking to you before this. You were telling me how to pronounce the name of Sault Ste. Marie. And could you say again where it's located in Canada?
So it's S-A-U-L-T, Sault Ste. Marie. It's north of Michigan, so where Lake Superior meets Lake Huron. And if you go up past, there's the Mackinac Bridge, which everybody knows about, and then the International Bridge bridges Upper Peninsula of Michigan to northern, what we can now call Northern Ontario, because in Windsor, outside of Detroit, is also Ontario, but it's like it wraps all the way around.
Okay, it's always so interesting with how that border is right there.
Yeah. It's somewhat convoluted.
Yeah. So these days, like, how is it going across the border from Canada to the U.S. and back and forth? You just like stop. I went a very, very long time ago, and you just kind of stopped at a toll booth on the bridge.
Yeah. It's been 10 years since I've done it. However, once upon a time, you didn't even need to have a passport. All you had to have was your license.
Right.
God forbid if you actually knew somebody at the bridge. Oh, okay. You know, if you've gone enough, and many people from the Sioux do what we call cross-border shopping. So, and then also there's a university called Lake Superior State University. And so a lot of Canadians will go to that. They have a special tuition because they're so close. So then after 9/11, of course, then we did need to have passports. Still wasn't very, very strict. I had a funny story, and I won't mention any names except that it was my wife. And so we had come in. I picked her up in Detroit. And we had come in to Canada, and I happened to know quite a few of the guys, and a buddy of mine was working the Canadian border. Brent, come on in. This is my girlfriend, Natalia, I'm not mentioning names. So we just let us in. Well, going back, she didn't have the proper documentation, but nobody thought of that. And they're saying, well, how did you even get in? So again, we weren't mentioning any names at that point because we didn't want to get him in trouble.
So
we worked it out. She had to pay no fine, just the fee to do it for the proper entrance permit kind of thing. So yeah. So it can be fairly lax.
Yeah, I guess so. If you know the right people. So how long has it been since you lived there, and how long have you been in Sweden?
Well, November 13th is 11 years.
Wow, coming up.
Yeah, it's coming up fast, and it just goes by so fast.
So I'm guessing you moved for your girlfriend.
I came. I'm a love refugee, as they call us. So yeah, I came for her. She's a scientist here.
Oh, cool.
And it was a great move. I mean, geographically, it's not a lot different than where I'm from.
Yeah.
We've got two big bodies of water.
Yeah.
We've got the Baltic and we've got Mälaren here. Mm-hmm. And, the geographies, trees are the same. We'll get into about Fjärdholmen eventually, the rocks and everything. I never feel homesick that way because I feel like I'm at home.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about that. Mm. Yeah.
But you're from Texas?
I'm from Texas,
yeah.
So it is a little bigger of a shock for me.
Yeah, well, and the weather too. For me,
the weather especially.
For me, it's like, this isn't even winter.
Yeah.
So, and I know back home, the last, I think, 3 or 4 years, they've been getting like 10 feet of snow.
Oh,
and we always had a lot, but the 10 feet was still a little bit high. And and the weather's still cold, but here it's never that cold. I'm still wearing like sweatshirts through the summer. Or hoodies.
Yeah, I'm a little different, but I'm getting used to it over
course.
The years.
How long have you been here?
I've been here 24 years.
24? Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so it's been a while.
So the language is okay for you?
It's okay. I still, when I speak Swedish, I like to tell people I sound a little bit like a caveman because I miss, my grammar here and there.
Right.
But basically, it's fine. And I think that listening and reading always come before talking and writing. So I'm fine with that. It's just people like give me a second glance if I'm speaking Swedish. Is she foreign or is there something off about her?
We won't go there anymore, but yeah.
Yeah. But how did it work for you with Swedish?
Well, it's not working so well yet.
I understand.
And it's not for, I can't say it's not for lack of trying. It's not for lack of desire. But at some point, you have to decide, do I need to, where am I going to sacrifice? The time to do that obviously was in the very beginning when you get here. I did try SFE and I liked it, except my teacher wanted to speak to me in English most of the time. And then I went into Arbitz for Mendling, and my, I guess, caseworker, if you will, he said, well, don't go to SFE. Because if you want to learn another language, you'll learn it, but you won't learn Swedish there. And like, okay. And then, you know, life got in the way, and, you know, all the things that happened, happened. And thankfully, Sweden is such an easy place to land if you don't have it. Right. And I do, I believe it's respectful and you should try to learn it. And I'm doing Duolingo and Jump Speak and all these things now.
I'm, just on your own time.
Trying to at least hear, and I don't think, this may sound really odd to people, but I don't think I hear it very well. I mean, we've lived in the same place since I moved here.
Yeah.
Fourth floor. I know what it's supposed to say. And I have, I think maybe three or four times I've heard it say Fira as opposed to, I don't even know. Most of the time I think it says Sistra, but I mean, why? it's
and maybe I'm, it's like, just something with the way your ears kind of turned for this type of language.
It must be. I don't know.
Well, since you're from Canada, did you also speak French growing up? Or is this more of a Quebec thing?
It's another. No. All the schools are, if you start off in kindergarten and whatnot, you will learn some French. Now they have what's called French immersion. So a lot of people are putting their kids in from the beginning. They get their English at home, and then their school is essentially 100% French. I don't know if they, like here where they mix it up, I'm not sure. So a lot of people do. Now, when I was 4 years old, my dad took a job down in the Detroit area. So from 4 to 12, or 4 to 11, I lived in Detroit. So when I came back, then my teachers at that point were saying, just learn the alphabet. And I know the French alphabet very well. I still, and it's funny though, and I went to a University of Ottawa, which is a bilingual university, and it's certainly, I am not bragging about how much I understand, but I probably understand more French, kind of just through osmosis.
And that's what's going to happen here over the years in Sweden. I think it took 5 years until I could understand people. And probably close to 10 until I was comfortable speaking.
Now, is your partner?
Yeah, he's Swedish. Yeah. And then having kids, that helped a lot because then I got to hear it a lot slower and a lot simpler. Yes. So that was part of that. But you, well, we're going to get to what you do for a living in a minute. But I would say for me, I, of course, had to start taking jobs at the beginning in international places where everyone speaks English, and that's what I've kind of fallen into. So I'm kind of missing the part where I'm forced to speak Swedish all the time, which makes it a lot slower.
I mean, I actually believe Tourism Sweden or Tourism Stockholm, whoever is dropping the ball. I mean, if more people from the West knew how easy it was to come to Stockholm or to Sweden in general, this place would be booming.
I know.
You know, with the exception of UK, you know, and a little bit of the, you know, Amsterdam or whatever, where else do they speak the kind of Swedish where it's just, you don't even have to worry about communication? Or, English, sorry.
I mean, it's really unlike a lot of other places. You go to Germany, France, Italy, especially if you're kind of okay in the large towns, but if you go to the smaller towns, you're lost. A lot of them don't speak English. And I think one of our theories on that is I've noticed that countries like France, Germany, and Italy, they dub their movies and TV shows, whereas Sweden has always used subtitles. And I think just hearing things in the original language is part of what's historically helped the Swedes to be a lot better at English and other languages because they hear it. So I think it makes a difference.
I think so too. And I mean, I'm amazed. My daughter's 8. The vocabulary that she has because of social media, it's incredible.
Oh, the kids catch on to everything. I mean, with YouTube and video games and all of that. Kids who are completely Swedish, very young, that were friends with my kids. It's amazing. They're so good at English.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Some, too. They work really hard at not having an accent. I've been fooled out on the island. It's like, oh, yeah, so, you know, when did you come from the States? Or, you know, if I knew they're Swedish, you know, how long did you live in the States? Oh, I've never lived there. It's, wow.
They don't realize they should keep a bit of an accent. And I'll tell you a quick story. When I first met my husband and we would go back to visit in Texas, he had more of a Swedish accent. And it was great because every time we went to restaurants, the waitresses would flirt with him and they oh, where are you from? You know, we got so many free desserts all the time. And now he's lived with me so long that most of his accent is gone and people don't pick up on it anymore. Now we have to pay for dessert. I know. Yeah, absolutely. But let's get to what I'm very interested in, the career that you have found yourself in mm-hmm. in Sweden. And is this something that started in Sweden, or is this something you carried on with you?
No, absolutely not. This was literally a walk through the door scenario. So my wife was a hobby jeweler, and she was making some really incredible stuff. And as I was saying, we, you know, our North American sensibilities is let's sell this stuff. And a friend of mine saw what she was wearing, and she really liked them. And I said, well, we can make a pair of those for you. And she bought them. And I think there was a sense of validity, you know, validation. And then one day there was another situation, and I was just amazed. She asked me to help make a bracelet out of basically a washer, like a steel washer, but uh-huh. it was silver. So just a round circle. And she said, we need to make this fit somebody's wrist. I'm like, there's no way in heck that's going to happen. I mean, it was not very big. And so she asked me to help her with it. And she told me how to do it, you know, heat it, until it expands, until you get to the size you want. And we did it. I'm like amazed. Now, I'm a pretty big guy, and I probably hit it way harder than I needed to because she was always at work when I was working on this. And I destroyed the mandrel that we were using. And she's going, well, we're not going to do it that way again. But it was kind of like the seed was planted. I mean, and not really, but because I wasn't doing any other jewelry except helping her. I certainly wasn't looking at any blacksmithing or anything. And then one day she sent me a picture of a set of doors. And that's all it was. Just these, you know, sort of a grayish door, old Swedish style. Uh-huh. And I'm like, okay, what the heck's this? The next day she sent the sales sheet. And I'm like, looking at it. And one of the funny things that got my attention was the Google Translate takes forging uh-huh. and says throwing. So in my mind, it's also throwing axes, which I thought was pretty cool. Yeah. I knew it was still a blacksmith shop, and I knew that there was other components to it, but I thought, oh, well, you know, now we're going to throw some axes too. And so the next day, I talked to Natalia about it, and she's going, well, let's see what we can do. So I called the guy, and again, North American version of it, as opposed to perhaps somebody from Sweden, you know, gives his expression of interest and then sits back. I went to see him like every third day. Or called him. If I didn't see him, I called him every third day. And for, you know, about 6 weeks that went on. And he's like, you really want this place? I said, yeah. I said, you know, but I need your help because I don't know anything about blacksmithing. Yeah. So then after about 8 weeks, I think this started in sometime in November, maybe late October. And we finally took the keys in December or late December, early January.
Yeah.
And then he said, oh, yeah, but you can learn on YouTube, too. I'm thinking, yeah, that doesn't sound right. And my wife being a scientist definitely didn't sound right. Let's educate, right. educate. And she found a master blacksmith up in Amunga, Patrick Faldin. And he's an amazing blacksmith. It's Amunga Smedja. He makes amazing knives. He makes just anything. And he's a great guy. And so I went to him almost every day for about 5 months until we opened up on May 1st. So this started, let's say it started January 1st. I went to him until basically the day before I opened, you know, 5 days a week, 4 days a week, whatever it was, put in lots of hours. So I crammed in a lot of knowledge really fast. And I knew that I just had to be smarter or not smarter, but better than that person that walked in the door. I didn't know is that everybody in Sweden is connected to a bloody blacksmith. It's like every day somebody's, my grandfather was a blacksmith. I've done forging. You know, everybody has some connection. I joke about, you know, 7 degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon. And here it's 3 degrees to a blacksmith. It's like, well, I'm glad I did it the way I did it because at least I can speak on it.
Right.
And if they know more, that's great. I still know what they're talking about. It's not like I'm, you know, deer in the headlights type of thing. So yeah, then that May 1st, we opened up. I did have a partner and I do give them a lot of credit that because they made the decision quickly, and they probably forced our hand. You know, my wife and I tend to maybe overanalyze, and we may have not got it. So I give them a lot of credit on that sense because they did put up their part of the money. So we ended up doing it as well. Sadly, it didn't work out, and we ended up buying them out that Christmas.
Yeah,
and these things happen. You know, you find, especially if you're a little bit spontaneous, you go through these things quickly, and it's like, ah, okay. But he's living in Italy, loving life, so it's great.
Wow.
Yeah,
worked out for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know this, but I don't think you've mentioned this. Where is this place located?
So we call it Rock the Forge, and it's located in this great little island called Fierahomena. And it's classified as the closest island in the archipelago.
From Stockholm.
I think it's a bit of a stretch. I mean, it's, you know, from Nacka, it's 5 minutes. Uh-huh. From Lidegur, it's 5 minutes. From Stockholm, it's 25 minutes. But it's a great little island. And for anybody that happens to listen to this that might be from the Midwest, it's kind of like a very small Mackinac Island, which is in Lake Huron. And I mean, and it's a Midwest thing. But I did recently read, I mean, of course, these, you know, top 10 lists are always, you know, very, very slanted towards certain things. But Mackinac Island was the number one tourist attraction in the United States.
Wow. I mean, I feel like I've heard of it.
Yeah. I mean, there's the Mackinac Bridge, of course. Mm-hmm. And then there's Mackinac City on the Lower Peninsula. And then there's this beautiful island, and it's got the Grand Hotel. But it's quite big. Fierahomena is about 1,000 steps around. It's about a kilometer.
Yes. I've only been once, and it's been quite a while. But could you describe, like, I know it's a fairly cheap day trip on the boat from mm-hmm. Stockholm, but I don't really know what all is there. Like, if somebody wanted to take a day trip from Stockholm.
Well, most of the time what happens is people come out, and there's three full-on restaurants, a brewery that has burgers and whatnot, and they brew their own beer. They no longer brew it on the island just because they bought a bigger place and they kind of outgrew the island. Right. But now it's a super cool bar. And then there's a chocolate factory and a cafe. So that's your food.
It's working for me. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's your food component. And then there's a series of makers. There's the glass blowers, which they've got a big space. We're kind of tucked behind them.
Okay.
Fredrik Nielsen is like a rock star in that industry. It means something to have a Fredrik Nielsen piece of art. Carola Kassman, I hope I'm pronouncing that properly. She's an artist. And she draws quite a bit of attention on Instagram for her art. A lot of people love it. Then there's a group of potters, and they make beautiful stuff. Then there's a textile girl, Anna Lee, and she makes some great stuff. Then there's Carola. Then there's Elmina. She does more of a Swedish style of knitting and whatnot. So she makes beautiful stuff. And then there's a new person out there, Christian, and they're more concentrated on kind of the woodworking stuff. And most of us do some form of, I call mine experiences, but most do some form of experience.
And what do you mean by experience?
So if somebody comes in and wants to try blacksmithing, we have a couple of introduction programs. One is called Nailed It. You make a nail. The other one is called Happy Hooker. Guess what you make? So, you make a hook. I mean, and then if somebody has experience, then we will custom design it for them. Wow. But we're very flexible. We're very accommodating. We try to do that all the time. We also have another one for jewelry, and we call that Rock Your Ring. So we try all our experiences. We try to keep fairly concise, like about an hour and a half, because you're on this beautiful island.
Yes,
and
yeah,
you want to
yeah.
walk around, and it's amazing how many people come out there just to get sun. Of course, you know that.
Yeah.
As soon as the sun comes out. And I mean, I guess it's the way the island's situated at that point in the day. The sun is just beaming down on you.
It's a beautiful environment. Yeah.
Absolutely. But then the restaurants are kind of, they run the place in the sense that everybody comes out there. A lot of businesses bring their staff out there.
Right.
And if that's the case, then we don't even see those people because
they're just,
you know, I think it's a great thing that the businesses do here, but they pay for the booze, they pay for the food, and nobody wants to move from there because we're going to get as much of both of those as we can.
Very Swedish.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about in the winter? Is everything open in the winter? Or
no.
Is that like
so
a
it is,
pausing
it's seasonal.
Time for... Okay.
So it go the season runs generally from the first weekend of May.
Okay.
So it could be April 30th to May 1st, mm-hmm. if it falls on the weekend. And then it's the second Sunday in September.
So it's
a decent sized season, but it's quick, but we just finished up a couple weeks ago, yeah. Then the restaurants do what's called Christmas table.
Right.
Or as you know, Yule board. Krogan, Fierahomena's Krogan, is well known for theirs. And they make a really beautiful, they have a chef that sort of comes on for that. And they do really, really well. Roquerie, which is the smokehouse, they do an amazing job as well. But there's nothing, it's the same situation where the businesses, a lot of times it's the businesses taking them out there and they just want to get as much food, as much alcohol in them as they can. Thank you, whatever your business is.
Yeah.
And everybody's, you know, especially the new people, you always try, okay, you're full of new ideas and,
yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm going to change everything here. Nothing changes. You know, I even tried, I talked to the VD, Henrik at Krogan, and I said, you know, would you mind if I put a table out in front of the restaurant?
Yeah.
No, no problem. He goes, but people have tried this before. I said, yeah, I'm sure, but, you know, I'm different.
Yeah.
And, like, for 2 hours, people walked past, and I had, like, these beautiful knives from, I was selling some for, I should say I was displaying some for, yeah, for Patrick, and all our jewelry, and not a single person, I mean, barely gave us a glance, like didn't say, oh, what are you doing? No, they were like so focused to run into the restaurant. Most of them didn't even notice that we were there.
So I guess there's no Christmas market thing.
There is no Christmas market, okay, as of this time. There's always talk that we're going to try and do it.
It could change everything.
It's been the next idea for probably 25 years.
Yep, that's so right. Did you ever think your path would lead you to living in Sweden and working as a blacksmith or silversmith?
Absolutely not. Now, the funny thing is that my last name is Prentice, so now I'm a Prentice.
Ah, there you go.
So maybe somebody was telling me something all along.
You know. Well, I feel like we did our interview in the wrong time of the year. I should have done this before May.
Well, maybe there's
I'll
a follow-up.
Maybe I'll run a rerun. Yeah, or a follow-up interview.
We'll bring you out and do an experience with you.
Ooh, I'd like that. Yeah. That would be good. We'll record it.
Absolutely.
I'll make a nail.
Or you can be a happy hooker.
Yeah, of course. Obviously, yeah.
it means so much to so many different people. So yes. Different things to different people.
Well, you know, on this podcast, I usually ask people for any tips or recommendations, but I feel like we've definitely covered that this time.
Well, and I was going to say, I mean, it's pretty hard for me not to recommend Fjäder Holmene.
Yes. So instead of ending on recommendations, if you happen to have any kind of funny story, I know that I have a lot from making either language or cultural mistakes. For my examples, like I washed my hair with conditioner for a month because I just grabbed the first thing that looked like shampoo and I kept thinking, oh my God, the water here makes my hair so greasy all the time. And then I had another friend and they tried to make a cake, but they couldn't figure out baking powder and they bought yeast and right. Oh, it tasted horrible. So some things like
I mean, there's so many little things like that. And I tend to try to shy away from disparaging Swedish people because I have a business.
So, uh-huh. Right.
That guy said this about Swedish people. I'm not going there.
Yeah.
But, you know, certainly it's interesting because, like you said, baking powder.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, and I'd been looking for baking soda for a long time, not thinking, of course, that it was just sodium bicarbonate. And, you know, it's those little things. And then when you don't know the language and you start realizing that there's so many words that actually are the same or sound the same. It's just the emphasis of the language, you know, where we tend to emphasize a certain part of the word, the Swedish people will emphasize another one. Funny story, when I first moved here, my wife and I, on my first birthday here, decided to do a southern tour, and we weren't married at the time. So we wanted to do all the historical roads around the south. And you don't get to know Sweden better. And I still want to go north. We haven't done that yet. So we're driving around and we decided we're going to stop in a campground. And first part of that is we're going to tent. And it wasn't the best day. So we managed to find one of the stugas. But the beds, my wife is 6 foot tall. Mm-hmm. I'm 6 foot three. And the beds were too short. Well, we did think that, well, we'll bring them air mattress. We blew up the air mattress. And within 5 minutes, their mattress was flat. So we had to sleep in the bunk beds, which was like ridiculous, like kind of like at our knees. But the funny part of the story is I went into the cafeteria or to the what we call confectionery. Mm-hmm. And there was a gentleman, a young boy there, probably 18, 19 years old. I never assume anybody wants to know that I don't speak Swedish or wouldn't. Right. You know, I always lead with, I'm sorry, I apologize, I haven't learned Swedish yet. And people seem to appreciate that. A few people probably are getting tired of it, but they do appreciate it. So, of course, you know about the Swedish chef.
Yes.
And this whole time that I've been here now at that point, probably not that long, probably maybe around a year, I'm thinking, where the heck did they get the Swedish chef from? I've never heard anybody that sounds at all like that. And so, I mean, obviously there was some creative license going on. And then I met this kid and he was speaking English. Mm-hmm. But my first response was, oh my God, you're the Swedish Chef. And he's like blank. Like I had no idea. So I searched on YouTube and I found Swedish Chef and he starts laughing. And the whole thing is I mean, we already know the Swedish language is very melodic.
Yes.
But the South is much more melodic and almost singing. That makes sense. And it just like hit me in the head. And I found where they got the Swedish Chef.
I might have said this on here before, but in my first year, I remember having the TV on and brushing my teeth in the bathroom, and I found myself bouncing up and down to the newscaster, right. And that's when I realized they're like, da-da-da-da-da-da. Also, a second side note is my children, when they watch the Muppet Show, instead of thinking that was the Swedish Chef, they always called him the Chef.
The chef. Well, and that's another kind of funny thing too, right?
Yeah. I mean,
no matter where you are, whether it's IKEA or whether it's a high-end restaurant, you're buying meatballs, unless you're not from Sweden.
Yeah.
I'll have some Swedish meatballs. Oh, you mean meatballs?
Yes. Yeah.
Of course I mean meatballs.
But come on.
But now, I mean, I don't even think about it. But if somebody comes in from out of the town, it's like, oh, let's go have some Swedish meatballs. They're meatballs.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah.
I mean, it's like getting a massage. Well, isn't everything here technically a Swedish massage?
Right. Exactly.
I feel so
those
fancy.
Little things I don't mind making fun of. But
yeah.
Some of the other cultural things that might, I try to stay away from that.
Got to keep your customer base.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it's been so much fun talking to you.
Absolutely.
And now I'm really excited to go out to Fjäderholmen and check out your shop. And now I feel like I have to set a reminder in my calendar.
Definitely we'll do an experience and we'll talk about that as well. But
I would love that.
Definitely
yeah.
get you out there. We just love passing on what experiences we have,
yes,
as little
yes.
as they may be.
I would love to try that out. Maybe we can work that out in May or something.
Absolutely.
Well,
awesome.
Have a great day. And to me, it's cold outside, but I guess you're doing pretty well.
I'm sitting here in shorts.
Yeah, of course.